Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murad. They're the official Grant and Danny show sponsor. They will help protect your assets, update your will and your trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. 1 hour from now, ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we will be giving away a four-pack of tickets to the United Football League's DC Defenders home opener, Sunday, April 7th, coming up this weekend. They've got Houston coming to Audi Field for a kickoff on Sunday afternoon. You could be there with three of your buddies. Got to be listening to Grant and Danny. Did you see the Defenders open their season? They lost, by the way, unfortunately, to San Antonio on Sunday.
Is that expected? Not expected? What do you think?
It's so hard in these leagues because there's a turnover with players. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you know if anyone's going to be good or not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the expectation is that the Defenders will be very good because the staff, the quarterback, some of their key players are back from a team that got to the title game last year, but they've taken a big hit at wide receiver. This is good news, bad news. Most of their receivers from last year are on NFL rosters right now.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're thin at that position, which is pretty important, not only in general, but to their offense when they run a lot of 11 personnel, spread you out, throw the ball around some. But they also had a pretty serious injury to their running back, who was one of their key players last year, Abram Smith, who's not around. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to getting out there and putting eyeballs on them on Sunday. But there was a fake field goal that went viral for people even that don't care about the UFL. And it's one of those things where you just know that special teams coordinators in the NFL wrote that one down.
Record that.
Did you see the play?
Rewind that, yeah.
Basically, so it would have been like a, I don't know, a 56-yard field goal or something.
Mm-hmm.
Before the snap, motion sent holder, kicker, everybody sprayed all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were running with a bunch of receivers at that point. It was a traditional almost shotgun formation for the kicker deep behind the line of scrimmage, or the holder, I guess. And then they threw a touchdown pass of 40 yards to the guy that was lined up at left tackle. And it reminded me a little bit, Danny, of, if you remember the movie Varsity Blues.
Of course, yeah.
The play where they tell Billy Bob, just pretend like he's lost.
Well, I wander around, act like I'm lost.
And just run down the field. The play-by-play guy botched it on the call. He's like, that's the center. And maybe it is the center normally, but he was at the left tackle for the kick. So everyone's like, well, why was he eligible? This is a stupid league if the center can just catch a touchdown pass. And I'm like, no. It's not the league being crazy. That guy was on the edge of the line as a eligible player at left tackle, basically. But he just kind of ran down the seam. And they're running these exotic looks, and receivers are like waving their arms, wanting the ball, basically. And after about 4 seconds of buying time, the holder, the dude with the football, just launches it straight down the middle of the field. DJ Swearinger, former Redskin safety, is late getting over and tries to tackle this big fat lineman into the end zone for a touchdown.
I'm always fascinated by these kinds of things because for every one of these, there's like a swinging gate, which looks so bad.
I thought about
and
this.
So terrible. And you go, I guarantee you on paper, when they wrote it down, like, look, this is within the rules. Look at this. This is genius. We can do this and this and this and this. I cannot wait to deploy this. And it's this one of the single worst plays in the history of this franchise.
I think about this all the time. Especially, though, in that league, where it's your first week, you've got eyeballs seeing how legit is this product?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a real football league, or what is this? If you run a crazy trick play that looks terrible and it's embarrassing, and when Jim Zorn did the swinging gate and it was god-awful and Mike Tirico made fun of Washington on Monday Night Football,
yeah,
that's mortifying, but at least you're an NFL team, kind of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
If
yeah.
you run that in a UFL game, I think the takeaway, you tell me if I'm wrong, you're more cynical about the league than I am, is kind of, what is this? Really? That you guys are doing those kinds of plays in this league? It worked beautifully, but it takes stones. Even in the NFL, to call something like that, the juice is worth the squeeze when you get it. But if you don't, think about just any kind of third and one, fourth and one.
Right.
When you don't hand it off and go right ahead or throw a normal slant or something, anything that's a little bit creative, you get destroyed
yep.
for getting, quote, too cute. Take that times 10 now with a trick play. I would absolutely coach.
It's a smart thought. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Feared about that.
Yeah.
Fearing that, I should say.
I was going two ways with it. One is, you know, not as good a point as you just made. But on that, like the dial up where you just feel like that's going to be open because everyone else is covered on the play. Right. If you haven't seen it, there are multiple receivers going out, you know, whether they're linemen or linebackers or, you know, special team Sams or whoever, they're just sort of milling about and the left tackle just sort of moseys down the field between the hash marks and nobody picks him up. If somebody does, the play's dead. So the huevos, as you're saying, to run that sort of thing, A, is massive. But B, you know, when you write down on the cocktail napkin or you're doing the, you know, the Ted Lasso coming up with Total Football at the bar, whatever it is. I was wondering, like, from that to implementation is fascinating to me. Because, as you said, it takes a lot of stones on multiple levels to be like, we're going to do it. Watch this. This is how we're going to fake a field goal at this level. Because, you know, there's so many recipes for disaster. But even beyond that, I always feel like the Ravens are on the cutting edge of whatever this is. There are so many things that are allowed in terms of formations and sets and alignments. And people, I feel like, use a fraction of them just because that's what's conventional. I feel like the Ravens always had like some kind of thing under Harbaugh where they'd go, here are two linemen that are just outside, you know, lining up on the left hip of my ex-flanker receiver who's on this hash mark. Seven other people on the other side and the quarterback can take a handoff that actually counts as a snap because the lineman turned around. Like, there's always gimmicky stuff that you can do and no one does any of it.
Yeah, you just got to be right.
Yeah.
It looks so bad when you're not. And that particular play where you're throwing to the left tackle, basically, for a 40-yard touchdown way downfield in a league where we're already trying to figure out, I think, the average person, what kind of league is this?
Yeah.
I think that took a lot of guts, but it ended up being something that got them more attention in terms of the online sports
totally.
Sphere than anything else all weekend.
I mean, I didn't know when the game was, and I saw that play. You know what I mean? Like, the lineman chips in as part of blocking. And then sort of just kind of wanders around down the field, Billy Bob style, as you said.
I've been making the case for a little while that the Commanders should not be trying to find out which quarterback fits Cliff Kingsbury best, but that they should be taking the quarterback they like the most. So if Drake May, because he played for Phil Longo, who ran the exact same offense as Cliff Kingsbury last year at North Carolina, is the best fit for Kingsbury because he's run the scheme that Cliff's going to be implementing, to me, that shouldn't mean you draft him. I think you've got to operate as if Kingsbury could be gone in a year or two. You're going to have another coordinator in here. Maybe they run the same system. Maybe they don't. I don't want to pigeonhole myself into and box myself into having to promote from within to keep the same offense. I'd like to, at that point, decide, is Brian Johnson the best option or is there some hot shot quarterbacks coach somewhere else that I think I can make my offensive coordinator potentially. But this was something that came up almost inadvertently, it seemed like, on an ESPN conversation about what the Commanders are going to do with the number two pick on NFL Live. So you'll hear Mina Kimes and then Dan Orlovsky both in this clip. And we may jump in if we need to, but listen to this. They're having a nice dialogue about the Commanders choosing a quarterback with the second pick.
I don't think the question is which quarterback fits with Cliff Kingsbury, who's their offensive coordinator. I think the question you need to be asking is, how is Cliff Kingsbury going to adapt his offense to suit a rookie quarterback? Because from what we saw in Arizona from 2019 through 2022, there were a lot of flaws. I'll just point to one thing. During that period, Dan, Cliff Kingsbury's offense ranked dead last in the NFL in use of motion. If you aren't using motion in today's NFL to give your quarterback information, to create, we talk about all the time, I know, to create leverage and spacing, I feel like you're lacking in assisting, and it's an oversimplification. There's a lot of factors in that, but I don't think the Washington Commanders should be drafting, thinking about who best suits what we've seen from Cliff in the past.
Okay, totally agree on that point. If we're being honest, the quarterback that best suits what Cliff wants to do is Caleb Williams, just because of the point guard element, catch and throw, and also the ability to run. I do not think that the best, at least plug-and-play person is Jaden Daniels. Jaden comes from a place that they did use a ton of shifting. They did use a ton of motion at LSU. The other quarterback that I think makes a ton of sense, and it's probably not at two, is the guy that you just talked about, Bo Nix. Bo Nix is really a point guard. That's really what he developed to become in Oregon. So I know that's not where they're going to get slotted, but to Mina's point, if it's about Cliff and Washington, those are the two best players that you want to take and just plug and play into that offense.
So there's a lot of different ways we can go with this conversation. I want to go back through just some of the points that were brought up there. First, the lack of motion with Cliff Kingsbury, which is statistical. That's not an opinion. That's fact. That was one of the telltale elements of his offense that I thought was one of the shortcomings of his offense. Jaden Daniels was in an offense correctly in the college game at LSU with Brian Kelly, where they did tons of that. And it gives you answers pre-snap. I think you heard, I don't know if it was Mina or Dan saying this, but essentially motion is used for a lot of reasons. You can use motion to get your receiver into a more favorable matchup. Move him away from a corner that's not going to travel across the formation. Move him over to the other side of the field. You can motion a receiver into a stack or a bunch so that now there's two or three guys. Think about a scene out of the Fast and the Furious where a bunch of cars come together and they protect the car that they want to get away because all the cops are waiting, and now they don't know which car they're looking for, right? So, like, in a stack with three receivers and you're trying to defend areas of the field, now I can get McLaurin open or free release that way. The other thing, though, is, most importantly, you motion because if a team moves and defends the motion man in a certain way, it's man coverage. And if they don't, then it's zone coverage. And so for a young quarterback, having little tells like
little answer key
man
there, yeah,
versus zone, who's going to be where, how are they going to drop and sink and defend this, that's the whole answer key. If you're not doing that, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, that is really tough for any quarterback, but especially a young quarterback.
Yeah, here. I mean, watch Miami play for one quarter, and you'll go, oh, we should probably be using motion all the time. Another thing you can do is get your really fast guy kind of a running start. It's not the CFL where guys can line up 10 yards back and sprint straight, but you're sprinting across, and you've got a running start, so to speak, to kind of get up to full speed when you got someone like Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle that'll come in handy. So, yeah, you absolutely need a bleep ton of motion. That's number one. But number two, you're hoping that Kingsbury learned all those kinds of lessons, right? Where, hey, this wasn't successful. Here's the trend line in the league. A year out of the league, studying various things, what college football is doing, what pro football is doing. You would hope that that's something that he's going, or Brian Johnson's in a meeting with him right now going, yeah, dude, we probably need a little bit more motion. Here's why. And maybe that's now kind of gets incorporated. But in terms of finding the fit, which I think is one of the central points of that clip right there, I love your point about we're all kind of doing this blaring talent on the offensive side in terms of football players, defensive side in terms of football players, but on the coaching staff. When you had a defensive coach be at the top of the tree, this is now the Achilles heel of having an authority figure like Dan Quinn or like a Mike Vrabel or like somebody that I think is a pretty good coach. You now have a weakness that's built into your system. I don't count on Cliff Kingsbury being here for any more than two seasons. You know, rain or shine, good or bad. If it's bad, he's going to go. If he's good, he's going to go. I don't care about who fits Cliff Kingsbury best. And I'm hoping they don't either, right? Like, to me, if he's not adapting to who he's got, if he's only lining up out of shotgun when he's got a Drake May or has Michael Penix if they move back in the draft or something like that, it's a mistake. Don't do that.
The flip side to that is, while I'm agreeing with you, I'm going to try to just play devil's advocate to present another side here. The flip side to not caring what kind of fit somebody is for Kingsbury's offense is it obviously inevitably makes their life harder. If he is not going to adjust accordingly, and even if he attempts to, I'm not saying he's going to be obtuse, But let's just say he's done it one way. This is what you hired me.
You hired me, so don't be surprised when I show up.
This is what I do. I showed up. And now you take this player that you actually just think over the next 10 years is the best quarterback in the league. And you're telling him, make it work with this guy. What if he's not quite as good at doing it that way? And with all due respect to him, it's not like it was amazing the way he does it in the NFL.
Yeah.
So if you're getting a B version of him, essentially, when the A version was, you know, 15th in yards per play and 22nd running the ball and 7th passing the ball, or I'm just going back to 2021, picking random numbers. But it's not like it was ever a top 10 offense or top 5 in every category. So maybe the thought is, we're not hiring you, Cliff, because we want you to run your NFL version of the air raid that you ran in Arizona. We're hiring you because you've had great relationships with quarterbacks and you've worked really well with a lot of stars. Mahomes, Murray, you could kind of go through the list in college, right? We know that you are able to work with athletes, and we know we're getting one of those, whether that's Daniels or May. At number two, we brought you in here because we want you to bend to them, not vice versa, which is just generally how it should be. But I guess my question back to you would be, if, in fact, Kingsbury is going to change what he does to help that quarterback, if he's not as great at it as someone else would have been, it gets really hard for them. And then the vice versa, the quarterback, I mean.
Yeah.
The vice versa is, if you are drafting someone who's not a great fit with Kingsbury and he falls into some of his habits of doing things his way, then them having a great rookie season or getting off to a really fast start in the league gets more complicated and difficult.
Agreed. It can't be a total disregard. So I don't mean to be flippant about it where I'm like, I don't care. Obviously, there needs to be some thoughtfulness as to the offensive system that you'd like to run, right? You're bringing in offensive personnel to continue something similar, right? In other words, you don't want wild sweeping changes in philosophy, terminology, every single season, which is a Washington staple, right? Where we start over from scratch, a new regime inherits an old guy, and we kind of do the cycle in perpetuity. Now all the gears are lining up this time. New coach, new quarterback, new everything. So there needs to be some eyeball towards what Kingsbury wants to run. Like, for the sake of argument, if he wanted to run Greg Roman's offense, You want a running quarterback. You don't want to draft, you know, the stiffest, slowest Drew Bledsoe type quarterback. Conversely, if you are, you know, air raid Aaron and don't care about running, you draft the guy with the quickest release or whatever. You see what I'm saying? Like, I know that's oversimplifying. So there needs to be some eyeball towards it because you want something similar as a system gets passed down over, you know, coaches that are ascending as guys leave to get other jobs. So there needs to be some eyeball towards
it. I guess you could
But it's a secondary factor to me.
But you could double down and just say, no, here's why we're going to draft the best fit for Kingsbury's system. Because the reason why we went out and got David Blau and Brian Johnson and the entire staff that we put together is we feel Tavita Pritchard staying around.
Right.
They're going to learn this system. And when Cliff leaves in two seasons,
we're going to keep it.
And we'll always have, maybe their plan. That's what Dan Quinn learned in Atlanta when Kyle left and took all of his guys with him. And he was screwed, and he had to go get Sarkisian, I think it was, the next year. I'm not letting that happen anymore. Right. I'm always going to have a young guy. I'm going to block him. He's going to be my OC, and I'm going to elevate him, and we're going to keep the same offense. Just had a listener send me the numbers, so I've got them in front of me now. Per Sports Info Solutions, this is where the Cardinals ranked on using pre-snap motion under Kingsbury. 2019, 27th. 2020, dead last, 32nd. And 2021, 29th out of 32 teams. So at best, they were bottom five. And the other years, they were dead last and bottom three, basically, in terms of how often they used motion. But I want to open up the phones first time today on the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you guys. Do you think fitting with Kingsbury and his scheme should be a major priority? He's your play caller. He's your coordinator. He's the most important offensive thinker in your building. For at least this year, probably the next couple of years, the most important couple of years for this young quarterback, or would you just do the evaluation of the quarterbacks in a vacuum, say this is the guy we like the most, and then tell Cliff Kingsbury, build an offense that works for them. We're not really concerned about what you'd like to run or what you've run before. Like, how would you go about this? 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Should the Commanders take the quarterback that best fits Cliff Kingsbury's offense, or should they prioritize the player and the ceiling of the prospects and not care as much about fit with Kingsbury because he may be gone in a year or two. He might get a head coaching job. If it goes really well, he's going to. If it goes really poorly, maybe you bring in someone else or you promote from within anyway. 800-636-1067. This is one of those things you got to think about when you go the defensive route at head coach. And so far, there have been a lot of wins for Dan Quinn, I would say. Whether it's players who wanted to come here because of the staff he put together, because he's here, you know, being able to put together the quality staff counts as one. But this is one of the drawbacks, potentially, is kind of preparing for the inevitable and the idea that maybe your quarterback might have to deal with a few different systems and schemes over their first several seasons. Shane's in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. What do you think, Shane?
Commander Danny and Grant, how was y'all eat this weekend?
Hey, buddy, good.
Very good, man. Really, really good.
Hey, good, good. Hey, look,
oh no! Something's going on crazy with his
phone. I feel
phone.
Like it's been happening with Shane a lot lately.
Yeah,
is that me?
Shane's in weird countries all the time.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's in Fairfax right now or not. But
the
he's
country of Fairfax.
He is always in a different place, doing something. He's in helicopters. He's doing crazy things, and I just check on his phone. Ryan's looking at me really weird for some reason. I'm not really sure what's going on there, but he's like, "What could you possibly want?" I don't know, man. I don't know what I mean to say. I mean, his phone sounded terrible.
Why are you looking at me?
Let's go to Shane. Shane, are you there?
Shane.
Hey, fellas. Sorry about that.
All good, bud.
Hey, look. No, here's the thing. You have to have a system in place. You don't draft a quarterback just because of a talent. You got to have a system in place, stability. Like you said, what if he goes out there and has a hell of a year as a coach, offensive coordinator, and he's going to have a head coaching job next year, in 2 years? And now you got him once again another. What's the biggest thing that everybody hates as a quarterback? When you got four or five different offensive coordinators in 4 or 5 years, you're not going to catch up. You're just going to be behind.
Right, which is why we talked a lot about maybe going offensive minded with head coach. But now you've got Quinn. You got an OC that they like a lot in Kingsbury that they think is the answer. So the question then becomes, with a quarterback, whether it's May, Daniels, McCarthy, where on that list of things they care about should they prioritize, like, perfect fit for Kingsbury's offense?
Mobility and arm strength and a field general. I mean, it's a field general. You can base off of talent. If you can go off of talent, then there's a lot of people out there. Like, Joe Milton III's got all the talent in the damn world. But, you know, you got to have that field general on the field that has played. I got an SEC, a 4-year starter. That way he's seen it all. He's battle tested, if you will. But no, you got to get a quarterback so that way when he does leave, because there's a track record, 2-3 years they're gone. It's offensive coordinators go instead of Eric the Enemy. Only got 1 year, which we saw that coming. But anyway, that's a different story.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, so, I mean, it, the idea that it's not binary. Of course, you consider all factors. But it's we're asking what you weigh the most.
Here's the question. If you think Jaden Daniels is the higher ceiling player, and you envision, they close their eyes and they go, we think this is Lamar. But we don't think, just hypothetically, We don't think he's a good fit with Kingsbury's offense, really at all. And I'm going to go back to the motion thing, which is way oversimplified.
Mm-hmm.
But Cliff has already told us, this is how I do it. I don't want to run a lot of motion. Here's why I don't like motion. And Jaden Daniels was in an offense at LSU where they ran, as Dan Orlovsky put it, a ton of motion to help get some of those answers before the snap that are so important. We don't like the juxtaposition there. It's not going to work that well necessarily running the Kyler Murray offense for Jaden Daniels. But, man, we think 3 years from now, he's the superstar in this class. Do you go? And by the way, we think, in this hypothetical, Drake May is a perfect fit for what Cliff Kingsbury does. But in 5 years, maybe isn't as good a player as Daniels. Then where do you go?
Yeah, what's more rare? What commodity is the most rare? The superstar quarterback. That's my answer. And it shouldn't, you know, when you have an organization like.
And do you tell Cliff at that point, like, hey, buddy, this is the guy, figure it out.
Yes. And if you can't, we're going to find someone who can. I hate that kind of tough talk, but, you know, you can end up in a bad place when you prioritize that person. I mean, think back to Snyder or Griffin's relationship, right? How toxic and poisonous that was for the rest of the roster, the rest of the organization, for the coaching staff, et cetera. You don't want to do something like that, but you have to acknowledge. And quarterbacks are starting to wake up to this. That's why contracts are exploding for them. That's why there's more guaranteed money changing hands. It's why they can force their way, you know, to certain cities or whatever. It's almost like they're NBA point guards at this stage. But yeah, it's now to that point where the most rare thing is that true, honest to goodness franchise quarterback. The offensive coordinator, with all due respect, pales in comparison to the import of that guy that can sling it and have you in a division race each and every season.
Maybe a good comp would be, in a world where last year C.J. Stroud was not perceived to have been a great fit for the way that they were going to run that Shanahan offense with Bobby Slowick. And if they said, and I think they probably liked Young better like everybody did, but they happened to pick six and he fell into their lap. But now they're sitting at two and they're going, Will Levis is a better fit for this thing. But C.J. Stroud is a way better prospect. Bobby, make it work. And I'm not saying that was the situation, but...
But it's
I think
absolutely,
that's the way to explain
yes,
what we're
absolutely,
talking about.
Yeah.
Anthony's in Calvert on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, buddy.
Thank you, pal.
Hey, no problem. I honestly don't care either way, but I'm going to, like... I'm kind of juxtapositioned on both aspects of it. Yes, you want your coach to succeed, and you want to put him in position to succeed, but at the same time, if he's not going to be here in 2 years, what does it matter unless he's teaching people below him, which you guys alluded to earlier, which I think is very smart, to keep some continuity in there. At the same time, what's like you said, Danny, what's more valuable? What's more rare? What's where's the value at in the decision? So that is...
Well, let me answer one of your questions and see what you think about it.
Yeah.
When you say, what does it matter if he's not here in 2 years? If the quarterback has to learn a new offense in 2 years, that's bad, not good, right? If you drafted a guy to be a fit with Cliff Kingsbury, but now, 2 years from now, you go get another coordinator. Now, theoretically, you'll know the strengths and weaknesses of that passer and you'll act accordingly. But let's just say you go get a coordinator who does something. Like, there's no one guy that's exactly like Cliff Kingsbury who does things pretty differently, and now you got to teach a three-year-old dog new tricks, if you will, going into season three. Like, those are bad things. So I guess that would be my fear if you're trying to just pair someone with Kingsbury, which is why I'm pro. It's not something it's not like I wouldn't consider it at all, but it is down my list to make sure that they fit well with a passerby, so to speak, in Kingsbury.
Well, maybe I didn't speak correctly or clearly on it. I agree with you. My point is, what does it matter is on the negative side, not on the positive side. If you're going to keep rotating this, then what does it matter? You know, pick a guy that he can work with Kingsbury.
It's terrible saying his name, by the way.
Oh, no.
Cliff Kingsbury, saying that quickly is terrible.
Oh, horrible. Anyway, before you cut me off, you're going to cut me off, but I just wanted to get one point in. I don't understand and I'm a pretty avid football fan. I don't understand what the big deal is. Now, I missed the Cliff Kingsbury interview that you guys alluded to about why he doesn't like motion, so maybe it was answered already. But if you're going to set up on a 3-by-1 or a 2-by-2 or a 4-by-1 or whatever the pre-snap formation is, if you know you eventually want three on this side, on the short side or the wide side or the strong side or the weak side, whatever your decision-making process is, just start them on the other side and move them over pre-snap.
You would think so.
You would think.
Except that for 3 years in a row in Arizona, with this being a major point of contention talked about a lot, you just didn't do it. Just also, I mean, there are timing elements too. A lot of his offense, at least in college and in the NFL, I think it was similar, there's a tempo and a pace to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's about bam, 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 bam. We're running plays, running
Finish
plays.
Finish the play, next one in. Yeah. Get to the line,
guess,
go.
Guess what slows you down?
Motion.
Motion, right? So I think that's part of it is tempo versus the more I'm at the line of scrimmage, the more the defense is communicating, the more they can shuttle a body in and out, you know, whatever it is. So I think that might be part of it for him. Chris is in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? How you doing? First of all, I don't like Kingsbury saying that he just categorically dismisses a very successful style of offense. So that's a little bit of a flag for me.
To be clear, I just want to, in case someone's jumping in their car, he did not come out and say, I don't like to use motion. We're just using the numbers, right? What we played was audio about basically the idea that he doesn't, and the numbers back that up. But go ahead.
Well, I hope he would be more open-minded because he's now an offensive coordinator and not a head coach for a reason. Anyway, I mean, the best coaches, Andy Reid, Joe Gibbs, you know, Don Shula, Bill Walsh, whatever, they always found ways to update their thinking process and improve their team. And if you're not doing that, you're not doing your job as a coach. I think you have to prioritize the athlete. But the thing is, there's a bi-directional relationship here. The quarterback has to be willing to learn new things, unlike Robert Griffin, and the coach has to be willing to modify his process and what he wants that coach, the athlete, to do based on their skill set, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Without a doubt.
I mean,
my example here, sorry to cut you off, is Kyle Shanahan. This is the go-to-school on this. Do you think Kyle Shanahan's like, I can't wait to get to the NFL and run read option? That's not what he set out to do. They're running their stretch zones. They're running the Shanahan playbook of having 265-pound mobile guards pulling for Orlandis Gary. That's what their bread and butter is. They concocted something brand spanking new to fit a dude. That's my case in point. I don't care about Cliff Kingsbury's system. I don't. I care about this prize quarterback that's going to be here long after he's gone. Right? Like, what's best for him? That's what you figure out.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Our double plays next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Top of the hour. Remember, 4 o'clock, 20 minutes out at the Beltway Blitz. We are going to be giving away tickets to the DC Defenders home opener in the good seats right here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondorian Murad, official G&D show sponsor. They will protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy like my parents did with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys, and visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We're giving away tickets to the DC Defenders home opener this Sunday in 15 minutes at 4 o'clock. That's when we're blitzing. Right now, though, it is time for our double play. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. I tweeted out at Capital One Arena the other night while walking the concourse before the Caps game. Fresh baked popcorn, specifically at an arena, is a top five smell. And Captain Todd responded and said he'd love to hear me and you rank our top five smells.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's right.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good segment. So without further ado, today's double play, we will be ranking our top five smells. Now, what I figured out when I jotted them down during the break, mine are almost all foods.
You'll see a central theme in mine as well.
We should probably do like a food list and then a non-food list, but here we go. Number five on my top five smells.
Mm-hmm.
Freshly cut grass.
Mm.
That is the only item on my list that is not a food. Freshly cut grass. Walk by, neighbor just cut the grass. That's a great smell. Number four, bacon being cooked. The smell when you wake up in the morning of bacon mm-hmm. being cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, top five smells for me. I'm going to go with what got this started. In a concourse specifically,
yep.
and only in a concourse, mm-hmm. walking around, fresh popped popcorn. Different. I like movie theater popcorn.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Like the taste is better. The smell is not the same as in a stadium where they're turning on those old fryers and, you know, hadn't been cleaned in months, and the poppers probably or have not been cleaned in a couple of days.
So like a movie theater where there's kind of like a big hallway or like a bigger movie theater. Does that qualify?
Where there's a big hallway.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking of the, I don't know, like it's one of the big mega complexes where there's like there's a multiple theater situation. You come out and you
maybe,
smell
but movie
the
theater
smell.
Popcorn is like almost brought. It's like brought in a bag in a lot of places and mm-hmm. like poured into the thing to make it look popped. I mean, this is real popping popcorn
okay,
stuff.
Okay, I got you.
Number three. Number two, chocolate chip cookies fresh out of the oven.
Mm-hmm.
That's a chocolate chip cookie fresh out of the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one smell, a freshly baked brownie. That's a brownie, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going. Brownies out of the oven. Cookies out of the oven. Freshly popped popcorn in a concourse at a stadium. Bacon being cooked. And freshly cut grass. My top five smells.
So you're going to see a theme here for me as well. Number five, apple pie. Apple pie being baked is perfect. Number four, cinnamon rolls. Cinnamon rolls are fine.
Great smell.
I like cinnamon rolls okay. Like, I'll eat them, obviously. I'll eat, like, seven until I'm full and almost die. But the smell of a cinnamon roll is sexual.
It's, guy, that smell.
It is intoxicating. I would hook up with anything that smelled like a cinnamon roll. Anyway, number two, freshly baked bread. Just bread. We had a bread maker when I was growing up. Part of the reason why I'm overweight. My dad used to make all sorts of concoctions out of that bread maker. He'd do the sourdough.
My dad was a bread maker guy too.
He was
one of those old school ones that looked like a big square. And he was
of course
like,
we did.
They pull out a loaf. It would take 15 hours.
Dude, he was Walter White with that thing. He was unbelievable. He kept the sourdough mix in this little the bowl with like a little plastic on top of it. He knew what he was all about. Banana bread, a regular bread is number three. Banana bread is number two. I don't know why banana bread smells so good. I can't explain it. It should be a perfume. That's all I want to do is sniff banana bread. When I sense banana bread's being made, I smell it in my olfactory senses, and I just hover around the kitchen until it's done. I just pace back and forth like Dan Cook doing a TV special. Number one, you mentioned it. The single greatest smell we have come up with as human beings also goes with the single greatest dessert, the single most perfect thing to eat for a human being. That's the chocolate chip cookie. Not a snickerdoodle. Not an oatmeal raisin bit of nonsense. Not some kind of weird thing that was a waste of all the butter and eggs and flour and sugar and vanilla extract and those Toll House chocolate chips. The chocolate chip cookie in the oven, the instant that oven opens. Think about the oven opening. The oven's opening and you're standing within about 15 to 25 feet because your wife told you to get back.
Yeah.
And that instant it hits your nose, you know you're going to eat 11 of those bastards. So, number five, apple pie. Number four, cinnamon rolls. Number three, fresh baked bread. Number two, banana bread. Number one, chocolate chip cookies.
A lot of bread in there.
Yeah, it's very breaded. It's a breaded list.
Other smells I came up with that aren't food related. The pages of a new book. You ever go buy an actual book anymore? And this was old school maybe when you used to get a book for school or whatever. But when you crack that book open for the first time and you sniff the right in the middle pages, that's a great smell. I love that.
I'm with you.
How about, this one's a deep cut, but you remember those manuals that would come? I can think of it from video games or just like any kind of toy you got as a kid, and it was very glossy, like pages to learn how to do what you were
doing. Yeah, so like you'd open up the box, and then the game is there, and then the Charlie is right there also that you'd open up.
Love that.
Yeah.
Good smell.
Mm-hmm.
Nostalgic. I think we've disagreed on this in the past. I love the smell of gasoline. Big gasoline guy.
Yeah, that's...
So like, this is weird,
yeah.
But if I'm pumping gas, I'll, if I can, I'll kind of just touch the tip of the gas pump, like, before I put it back in, like, rub it on my fingertips and get a good sniff of the gasoline.
Yeah.
Just to get a little bit on those
fingers.
You ever
put the magnifying glass over ants, too, there, guy?
No. I haven't done that.
No, you don't do that?
No. But I like a little sniff of gasoline.
Yeah, you torture small animals sometimes. The Christmas tree?
Christmas
tree.
The
Christmas
tree. That's a good one. Live Christmas tree.
A nice, healthy bit of wood. Like, so a James smells nice, but the burning wood. Burning wood.
So like a fire.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
The burning wood is outstanding.
How about fresh pavement? Reminds me of going to King's Dominion.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's not one of my favorites, but it is a nostalgic smell of like being at King's Dominion or somewhere fun, where you're somewhere that is a big venue. It's fresh pavement. You know the smell.
Yeah, I know it. Maybe sometimes a little bit after it rains, too, on the pavement. You get that post-payment
smell.
It's distinct. Here's one. You're not going to care at all, but there was an entire ad campaign for decades around it. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. The smell of that freshly ground coffee percolating.
Was it just the song that you liked, though, more than the smell?
Before I even liked coffee, and I love coffee so much. It's the reason I get out of bed, okay? Before I loved that smell of freshly ground coffee. Not like some freeze-dried bag, not something that, you know, you bought from the store for $5. No. I'm talking about the real deal O'Neill, all right? That freshly ground coffee is a delightful smell. And Folgers, very aromatic back in the day. So when it's like percolate in the coffee maker, it comes to the whole house and helps you wake up because your body knows, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to get some.
I'm trying to think of, there's a cologne that I really, really like that I wear all the time, but I can't even think of what the brand is. No one makes a good cologne, actually.
My guys at the Grooming Lounge?
The guys at the Grooming Lounge.
I
got their cologne recently from you, and I've been wearing that a lot lately. They make a great cologne.
They have two, Handsome Devil and Magnificent Bastard. I go back and forth as to which one I like better.
Those are funny names.
But I like them both. We didn't have anything about barbecue on our list. Doesn't that seem weird?
Seems like an oversight.
Yeah.
But we only had 5 spots,
I know.
Man.
And mine was heavy on baked goods.
Yeah, you just had all breads, and I had all baked sweets, basically. Next, our Blitz, and we are giving away those Defenders tickets right at the top of the hour here on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.